The top 10 songs ever, I think that would be one of them. Like, everybody just loves that song. It's such a classic. Thank you so much for that. So at our 9 o'clock service, Veronica, who's one of our worship leaders at the 9 o'clock service, as she introduced a song, she said, "There's over 100 different names for Jesus." And I never thought about that before. And she just spoke a little bit more about that. And I was standing there thinking of all the names that I know for Jesus. And there are a lot of those. Like, Savior is a name for Jesus. Helper would be a name for Jesus. Comforter. King. Servant King. It'd be interesting if you go home today and you just sit, if you were to just make a list of all the different sort of biblical names for Jesus. It'd be interesting to do that. Over 100, Veronica said. What I wanted to talk about is another name for Jesus, and it's Friend. Nolan just read this incredible passage, poignant. That part of John is so poignant because Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. And they're upset about it. And there's this, that one verse where he says, "You used to call me master, and I used to call you servants. Now I call you a friend." And I wanted to talk about what a friend is for Jesus, because what Jesus does in terms of friendship is he takes it and he just kind of, like, in a seismic sort of way, he shifts all our expectations of friend. Like, that's a characteristic of Jesus, what we talked about last Sunday, is that he just takes something, and just when you think he's done with the teaching, that's a really good teaching, let's just leave it there. He just takes it to a whole other level. Like, love, for instance. You know, love your family, what a beautiful thing, and that this church is our family, the community of Christian people, the community of faith is our family, and how powerful that can be. Let's just finish with that. And he says, "I'm not done yet. Take it to a whole other level, because now I say love your enemies." And that's just what Jesus does all through the Gospels. Just takes it to a whole other level. And he does that for friendship as well. So I want to give you this teaching that just takes it, just it's a seismic kind of a shift. And then before you go, there's a question that Jesus leaves all of us with, a question. It's a question you're going to take home with you. And most of this, as we begin, is just going to revolve around this simple verse. Now, this is from the Old Testament, and this is Proverbs. And before I show you this verse, I want to say that this is a state of being that applies to everyone, regardless of your religion, gender, economic class. This is stating a life truth about everyone. And when you look at this verse from Proverbs, you can say, yeah, that's just a life truth. Everybody says yeah to this. Nobody disagrees with this. "Walk with the wise and become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm." So the first part of that is a promise. And we all get that. Yeah, if you walk with the wise, that'll be good for you. That's a promise. The second part's a warning. A companion of fools suffers harm. If you want to hang around with fools, it's going to have an effect on your life. Now, first of all, please remember, a warning is not a bad thing. A warning is not a threat. There's a huge difference between a warning and a threat. A warning is born out of love. As a parent would warn their child about the highway, a parent would warn their daughter about doing drugs. It's a warning out of love, and that's what this is. If you are a companion of fools, you will suffer harm. Just warning you. And sitting here today, you can think of friends that you've had. And a friend is just popping into your mind right now, a good friend that you've had, who has had a good influence on you. And just changed your life for good, in a good way. But you can also think of a friend who wasn't such a good influence on you. Be careful, that friendship is not good for you, is what this proverb said. I remember my mom didn't like one of my friends. I'd come home and this friend would be with me. She never liked him. She always said, "I don't like that guy." And I imagine when I went to people's houses when I was that age, probably mom said that about me too. "No, I don't like that guy." It's a warning out of love. Think about this. You don't have to put up your hand, but who were you with when you had your first cigarette? Were you alone? No. You're never alone when you have your first cigarette. You know who you were with. You were with your friends. I, re- remember. I still remember Donnie. That was my friend I was with when I had my first cigarette. I was a kid smoker. I'd smoked all through high school. It was the 70s. And that's not a very good excuse, but it was the 70s. And so here's a principle that applies to everybody. Friends influence us. Enemies do not. We're influenced by our friends. And it's a principle that applies to everybody. And so what this is saying is simple. This ancient words. And the thing about Proverbs is, you could open up Proverbs in your Bible, and you could read like 85% of the Proverbs you'd read, and you'd think to yourself, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. It's ancient words of wisdom, this stuff. And it's practical, it's sensible, and it's logical. Walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So here's what this is saying. If there are people that are in your life that you consider to be your friends, and you're on some level you know that they're not good for you, on some level you should consider severing the relationship. That's what that verse says. Now, if we know anything about the person of Jesus, we get uncomfortable with that, don't we? Because it seems so holier than thou, doesn't it? It seems so, like, self-righteous. And we're thinking, wait a second, didn't Jesus do that? Wait a second, don't we believe in transformation, that people can change, and that if we can be with someone, even though they may be fools, we might have some kind of a good influence on them and change them? Almost like God, like the potter's hands on us, that we can be our hands on someone and change them, even though they might be fools? And wait a second, didn't Jesus love the sinners? Like, wasn't that a huge part of what Jesus did and who he was? He ate with sinners. There's that verse. We remember this verse. John came neither eating or drinking. That's John the Baptist. John was a holy man and separated himself from all kinds of worldly pleasures. And they said he has a demon because John was so passionate about his message, people just thought he was kind of crazy. The Son of Man, verse 19, came. That's Jesus. Eating and drinking. And they say, he's a glutton and a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus put himself in the company of these people, fools. And he ate with them and he drank with them. And the religious people accused him of being a sinner, guilty by association. But that's what Jesus did. So if we sever relationships with people that might be fools, isn't that just kind of self-righteous of us? And the third part of our wait a minute moment is that God says to all of us, here's why you exist as my family, so that you can go out and be my body to the whole world. We remember that verse. How many times do we talk about that here? You're blessed that so you can be a blessing to other people. Go out into the world. Help people. Connect with people. Remind people that we're all family. And Jesus went out and loved people out there, including the fools of the world. So what do? With Proverbs. What do we do with wisdom? What do we do with something that we know is sensible and practical and logical? The word companion is important in this verse. The Hebrew word companion, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. This comes from the Old Testament, so it's Hebrew. The Hebrew word, our word companion comes from, means this, the one we seek intimacy with. The one we want to walk with, and the one we want to marry, the one we want to invite into the deepest places of our hearts. That's what a real friend is. So maybe it's like, yeah, go into the world and connect with people and give people a message and help them and do all that as Jesus did. But this is different. This is to be a companion, to bring someone into our lives in an intimate way as our help, as our guiding force, as the light unto our lives. And this is saying, if our companion is a fool, that's going to lead us right into harm. If your companions, your groups, your gang, whatever you want to call the people you're tight with, if they're living as though they don't care, and that happens to be a general definition of fool, is people who know the difference between right and wrong but say, I don't care. That's kind of a general definition of what a fool is. I know the difference between right and wrong, but I just don't care. If those are your people and that's what they're saying, then you need to think about that. There was a poll taken. Kimberly and I go to this Orange Conference in Atlanta in April. And they talk a bit about this poll that was taken with regard to people who are our companions. And so this is based on hundreds of people who said, if they could just have this if they could have had this proverb text in their lives when they were younger, they could have avoided the most heartbreaking regrets of their lives. So this is kind of saying, these I'm just going to show you two things. They're saying, like, if this is applies to your life, it should be a red flag. Here's one. A red flag should go up in your life if it dawns on you that your core group isn't moving in the same direction you want your life to be moving. Your core group, your companions. Here's my personal story around this. I played clubs for about 12 years through my mid-20s to my mid-30s. And the club, pub, bar context, not the healthiest environment. Beer and cigarettes and french fries, yes, not the most healthy. But here's the image that I just will always remember for the rest of my life. And every single place I went into was the same. On this side, you had the guy or the woman. And I got to know some of these people because I'd go back to the same places. On this side, you'd have that guy or that woman who would always go home with someone else every single night. You always had that woman or that guy in every club. And then on this side, you always had the guy or the woman sitting in the corner. And everybody knew if they wanted any kind of narcotic, that's the guy to go to or the woman to go to. If they wanted cocaine, if they wanted pot, it was that guy sitting in the corner. Every place was the same. And I got to a point where I realized that I needed to get away from that. I loved playing music, but I just needed to get away from it. The frightening thing was that I started to realize that those people were my companions. That's why I needed to get away. And as an aside, it's amazing what God did with that decision, and some of you can testify to the same sort of thing. God put me into a whole other context where I was still able to do music, a whole other kind of context. If you are a part of something that is moving in a direction you don't want to be moving in, and you know that your core group, your companions, are a part of that direction, it's some kind of a red flag. Here's the second thing. I think all of us here can relate to this. A red flag should go up if you catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you really are. Maybe in the dressing room after the game, where the conversation in the dressing room moves in a certain way, and you kind of have to move in that way. Or maybe you go to a club, a comedy club, and the comedian's up saying jokes and everybody in the whole place is just laughing their heads off and you're like, this just isn't funny. But you have to laugh because you're a part of it. Or what about this one? What about this one? Some of you have experienced this. When your wife or your husband says, when you're with that group of people, you're not really yourself. Red flag. When you're with that group of people, you're not really yourself. It's a warning that your conscience is giving you. And so what do we do with this? And become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And here's what I finish on. And this is where everything just kind of explodes into a whole other level of who Jesus is and who Jesus wants us to be. And then Jesus leaves you with the question that you walk out of this place today with, this question. When we're talking about suffering harm because we teamed up with a fool, remember who Jesus teamed up with. Remember how Jesus lived. Remember how Jesus' life ended. A horrible way to die, crucified on a cross. Why? Because Jesus made himself a companion of fools. We remember the disciples of Jesus were foolish a lot of the time. They asked questions they shouldn't have been asking. They wanted to know who was going to be the most important one. They said, Jesus, we want this kind of kingdom. We don't want the kingdom you're talking about. And the disciples, in many ways, were fools. And then when Jesus was tried with Pontius Pilate, standing up at Pontius Pilate, and Jesus was being tried, all the people saying, crucify him, were his own people that he loved. And Jesus made himself a companion of all those people. Why? Why did Jesus put himself into harm's way? Here's why. Because he wants to show that the kind of love willing to give up life so another might live. He wanted to show that the kind of love that is willing to forgive. He wanted to show that the kind of love that never gives up hope is the most powerful force that happens on earth. That's why he did it. Love is the most powerful force. So this before you, it's a warning. Yes, it's a warning. It says if you become a companion to a fool, you'll suffer harm. And we're all like, yeah, that's true. But nowhere does it say, don't ever do that. It doesn't say that. It says, here's what will happen if you do, but it doesn't say, don't do it. Jesus did it. Throughout Jesus' life, throughout his life, he called his disciples to go beyond the logical and the practical and the sensible. You open up Proverbs, and the whole book of Proverbs is about that. And we read it, and we go, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I believe that. It applies to everyone. It's logical, it's sensible, it's practical. That's what ancient wisdom is. But then Jesus changes it. He changes those words of wisdom. He flips them upside down throughout his whole life. He said, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, but I say. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. But I say to you, love your enemies. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other one also. Because if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who sin them. So, Jesus goes beyond the logical and the sensible. He goes beyond this kind of wisdom. He goes beyond it. He takes it to a whole other level. So here's the question that I take with me when I go, and you take with you when you go. Here's the question. Is it possible that maybe we should take people into our lives who we know causes harm, so that they might find life? All the gospel is saying, all the gospel ever says, is that's what Jesus did for you. There are times in our lives where we need to take a step back from certain people. There are times in our lives when we need that protection, and we pray that we might be able to discern that wisely. But maybe there are fools in your life that you can't give up on because you care about them too much. Maybe there are fools in your life who say, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. And you know that they will cause you harm, but you can't sever that relationship because you love them. You love them. The verse before you is practical, sensible, and logical. And it's a principle that applies to everyone at any time, and we understand that. But we're in Jesus' house now. And every now and again, we are called into something else. Every now and again, we're called into something more than that. Something on a whole other level. We're called to live out the words of Jesus. Love each other just as I. Just as I have loved you. Let's sing our song together.